there are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are golden retrievers. Which means Tubi is more popular than using meat-flavored toothpaste. More popular than never figuring out what W-A-L-K spells. More popular than kicking your leg when a human rubs your belly just right. Tubi, it's more popular than golden retrievers. See you in there.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, myself, Bully Ray, and Tommy Dreamer, a year removed from her exit of the WWE, Mandy Rose joins us here on Busted Open. And also before the Iron Claw hits theaters worldwide, we speak to Hall of Famer Kevin Von Erich right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Mandy Sachs, formerly Mandy Rose in the world of the WWE. Mandy, thank you so much for the time. I know you've been on this show before, but it's the first time we've had you on in a while, so appreciate the time this morning.
Yes, no, thanks for having me. It's been a minute, but all is well. So I'm happy to be on here.
Now, Mandy, it's been about a year now that you've been gone from the world of pro wrestling. So just talk about this past, 11 to 12 months for you.
It's been pretty crazy, as an understatement, like we said, but it's been amazing. I can't complain. I've had a lot of ups and downs, just like anything. But since I've been away from it, I think the fear for a lot of us in when we're in the wrestling world, it's like, what do I do after this? Am I going to be able to sustain a great lifestyle and have, financial freedom and all that? So I have to say, I've been blessed and it's been amazing. And I've had a lot of great opportunities come my way. So I'm grateful.
Mandy, you've been away for a while now. Have you gotten the itch to go back anywhere, get back in a ring, do anything within the world of pro wrestling and sports entertainment?
So to be honest, I haven't really got the itch yet. I'm actually a little surprised. I thought that I would get it, as we just said, coming up on almost a year. But I really haven't. I do miss certain things. Don't get me wrong. I miss the camaraderie. I miss my friends over there. I speak to them a lot. I miss that adrenaline rush, of course. But the itch to get out there and wrestle right now, I don't have it right now. I have to be honest.
That's fine.
How's your body feeling that you haven't been wrestling for a year?
My body's been feeling good. Thankfully I wasn't a crazy high flyer and I didn't do a lot of crazy moves. So I had no injuries my whole career. So I've been blessed in that aspect, but my body's been feeling good. I still train, 5-6 days a week. I'm still ready if I want to get right back in there, which I like to stay ready. I don't like to get off my grind. But my body's been feeling good. So that's definitely a plus.
Great to hear.
Mandy, that last time you were in the ring, you knew that it was probably going to be your last match, correct? Last time you went in the ring. So what was going on in your mind knowing that, oh my gosh, this is going to be the last time I step into a WWE ring?
A lot of mixed feelings. It was a crazy day. And I just had so many mixed feelings. I was kind of making jokes about it, to be honest. I think that's my sense of humor. I get that from my dad, if it's uncomfortable situation or there's just a lot of media and press going on that day, which there was, I just kind of kept making jokes with the girls, like, this is it, girls, like, we've had fun, you know, like, and they didn't believe me and all that. But I just had that feeling. And it was a lot of mixed emotions. I was really happy to pass the torch to Roxanne Perez, who I'm good friends with and became good friends with. So I was really excited for her and to watch her grow, and obviously all the other women that I've been working with so much, but it was really bittersweet. I mean, I think finally when that match was over, you know, I had a standing ovation, and I think kind of the crowd felt it as well. And just with what was going on. And I really felt it in that moment. Like, I felt like this is okay. I know I belong here. I know I've put my hard work into it, but I think just along my journey of like the whole, like, you know, putting respect on my name. And I feel like it took me a while, and it took fans a while to kind of get that feeling like I belong here. And I just feel like finally that was a moment where I was like, wow, I think I put the work in regardless of the outcome right now. It's what's going on. I think it's been a hell of a run.
And that's almost the crime and the shame of it, Mandy, because, you know, we had our award show last year and you won our award for most improved wrestler. Like, I feel like everybody was like, that year, 2022, is, I feel like, the world of wrestling recognized how good you were in the ring. And I think everybody, if there was going to be any news about you, is going to be about you moving up to the main roster. That would probably be the only change. Like, it's bittersweet in a way that, yes, as soon as you hit your stride, it ended. But also, I'm so glad that you had that opportunity to show everybody how really good you were in the squared circle.
Thank you. Yeah, and I do agree with that. I think if it panned out a certain way, different, like, I just feel like that the last 2 years, I did get a good opportunity to really showcase my abilities and gain that respect. And I developed like a different kind of love for the business as well. You know, it wasn't just like, it was reassuring to me that I was like, okay, now I'm able to kind of get the right training, I felt like, and the right reps, and just like work with so many different women. And like, my confidence was like through the roof, and I just got that opportunity. So I felt really good. So I will say, as much as, you know, I didn't plan the way that happened, the ending of all of it, but I did have an amazing time, and I'm glad that happened.
Mandy, I remember at a certain time speaking about you on this show very highly. I actually went on record to say you were making Trish Stratus-esque movement forward. I saw you improving so much, your confidence in the ring. There was so much good going on. And then almost overnight, it stopped, as if something happened. And then obviously the NXT was your resurgence. What happened in that stoppage time? Was it creative? Was it you? Was it personal? What happened in there?
That's a great question, because I sometimes try to sit and reflect about my career and obviously the ups and downs, like we all do. But I think there was a lot of pressure from the beginning, like even Tough Enough days, right? The Total Divas, and I got thrown into Total Divas, and I was super grateful for it. But I'm thrown in this mix of all these amazing veterans that kind of look at me like, all right, who's this bitch? Because like, she didn't, you know, do much to get here. And I just felt like there was so much pressure, and I was trying to be nice to everyone, coming from a Tough Enough reality show where I was like, you know, the big bad wolf on that show. But I just felt like there was so much pressure. And then there was a lot of comparisons to Trish Stratus, and I was, you know, super grateful for that. I thought that was amazing. But personally, I think there was a meeting with Vince. I remember, I will say, there was a meeting, and he had told me that he loves, you know, my character and what I'm doing and all, but just be more me. And I remember that was like the one thing. I felt like there was a part of me where I was maybe trying too hard to be that sexy character in a way. And I think I look back and I can relate and see certain times, and in the moment, maybe I didn't think that. But I think there was so much pressure of like, maybe, you know, the Golden Goddess and you know, the Emelina character at one point. I felt like there was so much like, okay, I got to be sexy. And I felt like there was a time period where I was trying a little too hard, and I don't think it came off as natural. But that would be my only guess as far as like the time frame of when I felt like I kind of slipped off a little bit, or maybe, you know, creative didn't have something for me, or, you know, there's a million other different reasons, who knows. But I felt like that might have been a little part of it. I felt like I was trying to be sexy too much, whereas, like, I don't need to try. Like, less is more, right? For me.
Hearing you say I was trying too hard to be sexy, just, you know, when you hear it, you're like, obviously, you know, you're beautiful. Just your presence alone, you know, reeks of that sex appeal. So to hear you say I was trying to be hard, it almost doesn't make sense when you hear it, if that makes sense to you.
No, it does. You're exactly right. And I think, to me, I was actually really confused about it at first, because, like, when I had that conversation with Vince, obviously I needed to take that and listen to him. He's, you know, the guy to listen to. I was like, okay. So then I think I was like, okay, let me not try so hard. And then I just think it was just a combination of things, but I didn't think I was trying too hard. But you know how it is. You guys have all had the experience of 1 year here, 1 year, and so many different people telling you different things that you're like, shit, let me just, and then that's what I think the NXT run for me was. Like, I need to be me. I need a little edge. I'm like what I normally naturally am. Like, I'm a little bit of a tomboy. I grew up with three brothers. Like, I need that little bit of edge. I'm not this, like, I don't know. It's just,
I had the same talk with Vince. I had to scale down my sex appeal when I was on TV. It was very difficult.
I could totally see that.
Mandy, do you watch NXT?
I do. And I do not, you know, religiously every week, but I do.
Who stands out for you?
Obviously I love, you know, what Tiffany Stratton has done since I've obviously been away from there. I think there was, you know, some comparisons of them, you know, to her trying to make her like me, which I don't agree with. I think she's her own person. I, you know, we all can be compared to people. Like, I love being compared to Trish Stratus, but I am my own person as well. So I think she's an incredible athlete. I think even when I was training over there, I just couldn't imagine, you know, the way she was progressively getting better so fast was just like, it was wild. So I definitely see that. And then I just think there's so many women right now that are rising. Like, I just feel like there's, like, some of these girls I remember training, or they just got there and now all of a sudden they're like having these amazing matches, which I'm just like, wow, like, it's crazy to see, which is awesome.
Awesome. You get to look from the outside now, seeing it and watching them develop, as opposed to just being, you forget about those things or don't appreciate it when you're in that mix.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, Mandy, we loved the work that you did with Otis. We loved Toxic Attraction and NXT. For you, what was the most fun and the most rewarding part of your career in the WWE?
I would definitely say the last 2 years being in NXT and obviously evolving my character to, you know, crazy heights, but also helping the other women. Like, I never thought that someone like me, when we're just pertaining to wrestling, would be able to help these younger girls that have been wrestling way longer than me on the independents and know way more, you know, about wrestling than I do. But it was actually really nice to help them. They helped me as well, and just kind of be there for them. And I developed a really close relationship with a lot of them. And that was really cool because I don't know, I guess I had that in NXT when I was first there. You know, Daria and I, Sonya and I were super close all the time, but it just felt different. I guess maybe because I already went up to Monday Night Raw and SmackDown, and then coming back, I had so much more experience and I can help the other girls and guys. So I would definitely say that was the highlight of my career.
Mandy, one of the things that you mentioned earlier that you miss is the camaraderie of the locker room and the friendships that you make and the relationships. Tell me something you don't miss about pro wrestling.
Ooh, do we have enough time? No, I'm just kidding. What I don't miss. Well, the travel, obviously. That's kind of, you know, now I just bought a house back in New York where my family is. So I've been, you know, spending a lot of time with my family ever since my brother passed. It's been tough, but staying close with my family is a must. So having that freedom of being able to be in two places and kind of being like a snowbird right now, which is awesome. But just having that freedom of being able to spend time with my family and do things for them. You know, I'm helping my dad's business, kind of revamping that, his deli up here. So there's just so many things that I'm like getting so much reward from, which is nice because I feel like I don't, you know, I want to still have my purpose, right? I feel like sometimes I do get down certain days because I'm like, oh, I was so busy. wrestling, traveling the world, experiencing all these amazing things. But like, since I've been away from it, I actually haven't missed a beat with any, like I'm super like busy still. I haven't stopped. I've picked up new things, new hobbies. And, you know, the biggest one is helping my family and being closer to them because, you know, life's short. So that's been a blessing. So the traveling, I definitely don't miss.
You know, Andy, it's funny because, you know, me being a married man, if I'm leaving the house to go to a concert, I'm hanging out with a friend, like it's almost like the most difficult situation to pull yourself from the home to go do and make personal time. You know, you're engaged, you have a fiance. I would have to think this life outside of wrestling makes those types of things so much easier, because I can only imagine how difficult it was to maintain a relationship when you're on the road as much as you were.
Yeah, it really is. And our relationship has grown and we've gotten so much closer since I've been away from it, just because we have time to do things together and, you know, set up a new house, whereas like, you know, that you just that lifestyle, it's tough. And he obviously, you know, being in the NFL for many years and chasing and wrestling as well, like he finally can sit back and relax and be able to just like enjoy these little moments. And that's why we're really big on that. Like we're super routine, but like we enjoy our Friday date night. We enjoy like sitting by the fire, having a drink and just enjoying those little moments, because, you know, you kind of, we all chase and we get to a point and then, you know, it's like, well, did I enjoy it? Like I was always waiting for the next thing, or I was always waiting for that title and this, and it's just, it's a lot. That's why I try to tell the girls too, to enjoy the moment. Like, I know it sounds cliche, but I've had some of the best experiences being on the road and traveling all different countries with all the women and the guys. You know, we had a ton of fun.
I know, man, for myself, man. If I miss Friday night date night, I'm in the doghouse. So,
oh yeah,
that ain't happening. Go ahead, Bully. Nuh-uh.
I just wanted to ask you, Mandy, I loved the stuff that you did with Otis. I found it so entertaining. You guys had such a chemistry, such a dynamic. Was it as much fun for you? And if you could speak for Otis also, was it as much fun for the both of you doing it as it was for us watching it?
Yes, for sure. I mean, you guys know Otis. He's just hilarious. Like half the time I didn't even know what he was saying. I was always just like, and then he's so funny and just so genuinely like just naturally like hilarious. You know, he doesn't try hard. So I had so much fun. I have to say, besides the NXT, you know, 2 years of being in NXT, the Otis storyline was by far my favorite time as well.
Talk about the podcast with your fiance, Power Alphas. What's that about and how can people listen?
Yeah, we started this podcast, Power Alphas, and you know, we're just talking about pretty much everything, inspiring true stories, the ups and downs, you know, both of our experiences in being professional athletes and whatnot, and having different guests on. So we kind of always wanted to do this. So we're pretty excited. We're new to the podcast gang, you know, so it's been a learning curve, but yeah, we're available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and obviously YouTube as well. So check it out.
So Mandy, oh, get Tommy.
No, go, you go.
So Mandy, the phone rings tomorrow and on the other end, you're like, hello, Mandy, how are you? Good to talk to you. We want you back on Monday and you can do anything that you want. We're giving you the pencil. What are you doing?
Ooh, giving me the pencil. Well, I think it's a conversation for sure. I'm not saying no, especially if they're giving me the pencil. That's a conversation for sure. Yeah.
But who would you want to, if you had the ability to go back there and write your own ticket, who would you want to work with? Who would you want to tell a story with? Somebody from your past or somebody brand new?
It's a good question. I mean, I think there's probably multiple people that I would like to work with, or if I really sat down and thought about it. But I mean, I know it's kind of, it's done and, you know, we're all split up and all, but I mean, Toxic Attraction was a big thing. I mean, we all can't deny that. So there has been, you know, I've sometimes thought about it. I'm like, oh, that would be really cool. Imagine I came back and reunited them and it was Toxic Attraction on the main roster. Like, that would be cool, I would say. But, you know, you never know.
Good answer.
No, I was just going to say, going from your podcast and about inspiration, for you, I know you, but I don't know you. We're from the same area, went to the same college. You made it. And I'm telling you, from someone who's a wrestler, Bully, Dave, Mark, we all talked so highly about you. And whatever doubt and things that you know, said or comparisons, there's now going to be people who are compared to you. Because, listen, I used to be considered a pretty boy, and your looks are superficial. You carried an audience with your work. You carried an audience with your interviews and everything that you felt like maybe you were lacking. And then the fact that you're at your age, you're also like, I'm cool with everything. You're very, very blessed to realize that, because for me, it took a pandemic to realize, man, maybe I can be normal without wrestling. But we're also about giving flowers here. And Bully, Dave, myself, Mark, we did nothing but because you were so different. And now that we're realizing, hey, you were being more comfortable being you. So kudos to you to experience that. And I just wanted to say that to you publicly and, you know, to your face. And if wrestling will always be here for you, if you miss it so much, then hell, give me a call. Happy to help. Or I'm sure you can write your own ticket anywhere else. But that's not for everybody. But for you, it was. You broke a mold and really busted out on your own, which is really, really cool to see your development as a person and a character on television. I have no follow-ups. I normally just like talk like this, but because I'm just listening to interview and I've heard different things that you've also said on interviews, because when your world gets thrust, a lot of people don't survive, or a lot of people like, what do I do next? And you've realized I can do other things. And also plug your damn parents' place. Come on.
Yeah, that, and you know what? Right? The wrestling was all good and everything like that, but let's get into the donuts. I want to hear more about your donuts. Yes. Please.
Well, is donuts involved?
Thank you.
Donuts involved?
Yes. I know. I'm involved with a lot of food, believe it or not. Well, first off, thank you, Tommy. I really appreciate those kind words. And I know, you know, we've spoke way back and we do come from the same area. So that means a lot. And I really appreciate that. But yeah, my dad's deli, Arthur Avenue Deli, that's, we're moving to Mayapack. We're basically, these towns are like 5 minutes away. So we're still in Carmel right now, New York, moving 5 minutes up in Mayapack to a new store, probably starting after Thanksgiving, which is exciting. Everything's brand new, kind of revamped, a little modernized. And the donuts, Sonia Deville and myself have taken a little break on it just because our schedules were a little off. And especially when I went to NXT, we weren't able to do our YouTube videos and all that, but, we had them available on Uber Eats, Demandy's Donuts. Right now we're in this transitional phase where we're trying to figure out what we want to do next with it. Sneak peek, we might end up trying to carry them at the deli, which will be cool. So we can do some branding and promotional stuff there, which will be really cool. But yeah, we created that brand years ago just by, you know, engaging with our fans on YouTube. And then, you know, we always had the envision of having a brick and mortar down the road. So still in the works.
I got my own coffee. We can do your coffee. I mean, my coffee, your donuts. I'll bring it up to your parents' place whenever you do your grand opening. Happy to.
Yes, that would be awesome. I'll let you guys know when that's happening for sure.
Hell yeah.
Dave, we got to go hit up this deli.
Listen,
yeah, I'm telling you guys.
It's very rare I leave New Jersey, but I'll do that. I'll go into New York in order to do that. So I have no problem.
People
doing
come
that
from, they come from all over, and I'm not just saying this because my dad, but like his fresh mozzarella is by far the best. Like, I'm not even just saying that.
You got to try fresh mozzarella.
Yeah, we're gonna have to have it catered.
Open after dark.
We're gonna have to have it catered, Bully. You know, Mandy, your life, especially the last couple of years, obviously all over social media, and being a celebrity like yourself, you know, it's very hard to have a private life. Like, is so, what's one thing about you that, you know, that fans really don't know about you? Something that, like, you know, everything is kind of out there, but something that, you know, your fans may not know about you.
I guess I would say, like, I'm super humble. I mean, whether people know that or not, like, I may be perceived differently, and I like to wear nice things and obviously live a lavish lifestyle in a sense, but I'm very, very humble. And, when I come back home, my fiance even always says that he's like, you're such an amazing woman. He's like, you're literally like, you were on a TV show the week before, whatever it was, you're on Tamron Hall. And then the next week you're literally in your dad's deli, like in the dumpster, cleaning stuff out. Like we were cleaning out the old store. There was a lot of crap. So I was like taking videos of it, 'cause I like to show people that. And I'm not trying to prove to them like, look guys, I could do this, but it's more to show them that like, I'm just a regular girl. I grew up, with three older brothers. I was always playing outside with them, a little bit of a tomboy. And I'm just normal. And I'm like, well, I wouldn't say normal, but you know what I mean? I would say humble and just very down to earth. And I don't know. I think a lot of people do know that know me, but the people that don't know me that well, I would say they wouldn't know that or wouldn't think
Mandy,
that.
if wrestling would have never worked out for you and all your side business and extracurricular businesses would have panned out, what would you be doing right now? Like, if you weren't working in dad's deli, like, what would you have done on your own?
Well, I did go to Iona College and get a bachelor's degree in speech language pathology. So I would have gone to get my master's, and I would have, had a nice career with that. That's a great job. There's a lot of different, places where you can work. But yeah, I always think of that. Actually, it's so funny you ask that, because I'm like, wow, if I didn't take that leap of faith of like even getting into the bodybuilding world, because that was kind of the first stepping stone before wrestling. So I just feel like if I didn't take that leap of faith, and that's what I always tell people or young people, like, take risk. You really never know where it's going to go. I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I had that Skype interview with Tough Enough. And like literally no idea. I mean, I'm always honest with people. I didn't grow up watching wrestling really. I watched it a little bit, but I wasn't a diehard fan, so I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. But I took that leap of faith, and then I just fell in love with the business. And I before that I fell in love with bodybuilding. So I think it's just like, just take risks. You never know where you're going to end up.
Also, you mentioned your fans are going to have an opportunity to meet you Saturday, this upcoming Saturday, November 11th at the big event. Also, you're going to be at WrestleCade November 25th. So obviously, anyone who's listening, make sure you take advantage of those opportunities to meet you. And Mandy, how can fans get in touch with you? How can they follow you?
Yeah, I mean, social media, obviously, Mandy Sachs throughout Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all that. Obviously, I get a little more intimate on my OnlyFans account. I talk to everybody, message there. Instagram, it's a little tough to talk to people. So, that account, I do a lot there. And yeah, when you brought up earlier about the itch, I just want to say one thing. Like, I don't have the itch, but I will say the fans are the ones that would make me want to come back, to be honest. Like, not to say that I wouldn't want to do it for myself, but do I need to do it? Probably not. But if I would do it, it would be for the fans. And I'm not just saying that because I've really grew a tremendous fan base since from NXT those last 2 years as champion.
Well, I would like to wear my Toxic Attraction t-shirt again. So,
Yeah.
I think you should do that just for that sake alone. Mandy, thank you so much for the time. This has been awesome, and we hope we can do it again.
Yes, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
The Busted Open podcast is now available on YouTube. This is Dave LaGreca, host of Busted Open, the number one pro wrestling show on the planet. You can now watch and listen to the award-winning Busted Open podcast every single day on YouTube. Our best interviews, behind-the-scenes access, and some of our best content from the past, all available right now when you go to youtube.com/@BustedOpenPodcast. Subscribe right now. As a wrestling fan, you know it's hard. All the blood, the sweat, the tears, the chairs. It's a hard day out there. And do you know what tastes incredible after a hard day in the ring? A Mike's Hard Lemonade. You get all hot and bothered, and then you can cool off with an ice-cold hard lemonade. Since day one, Mike's Hard Lemonade has been making lemonade the hard way. They take three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked, from family farms and cold press them to create a taste like no other. They choose to do things the hard way because they know hard days deserve a hard lemonade. That's why for 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Find now in store. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
There are over 75 million monthly Tubi viewers. That's more people than there are golden retrievers. Which means Tubi is more popular than using meat-flavored toothpaste. More popular than never figuring out what W-A-L-K spells. More popular than kicking your leg when a human rubs your belly just right. Tubi, it's more popular than golden retrievers. See you in there.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Our good friend Kevin Von Erich joins us right now here on Busted Open. Mr. Von Erich, thank you. I know this is a busy day for you, so thank you so much for giving us your time this morning.
Oh, my pleasure. Glad to be here with you guys. How's it going today?
We're great.
We're great, Kevin. It's Tommy Dreamer and Bully Ray. We're talking with the fans about not only the history of the business, but deleting history and all sorts of stuff and champions and lineage. So any day of talking wrestling, as you know, is a good day.
I guess so. Well, I'll tell you, it's good to be back in Dallas. I was looking around, and you wouldn't believe how much the place has changed in 18 years.
I'm sure. And, you know, you're back in Dallas. Tonight is a big night. It's going to be the premiere of The Iron Claw, the movie on you and your family. So let me first ask you, Kevin, like, I mean, listen, you know, we could talk about the life of being a wrestler, the life of your family, but you're it involved in a major motion picture. One of the biggest actors right now in 2023 is playing you. I mean, how does that feel to see your entire life and your career up on the silver screen?
It's something different, I'll tell you that. It's strange, you know, and then to look up there and see someone looking like me, dressing like me, and going through the same situations I went. Wow, that's kind of surreal, you know?
Kevin, have you seen the final edit of the movie, or will tonight's premiere be the first time you see the finished piece?
Well, they came out to San Antonio and played it for us, for the family. But I got to tell you, you know, I've had a lot of brain concussions, and my ears ring, you know, like tinnitus, they call it. And so I missed a lot of the audio, but I'm going to watch it again tonight because they're going to turn it up a little louder for me, and I'll have it. But, yeah, the movie is it's awesome. I really think these people did a great job, and I didn't have anything to do with it, but my hat's off to them. I thought they really did a great job.
Kevin, how would Dad feel about this movie?
My dad?
Yep.
Well, let me tell you, when the movie is going to be pretty hard on my dad. And I got to tell you that the way a lot of people may see it is not the way I see it. Down here in Texas, we got to remember, my dad was born in 1929. That's the Depression, and that's the way fathers were back then. Children were to be seen and not heard, and we were like, so we didn't, it was different. If you think about the Vietnam War, you hear a lot of Texas accents out there. When you hear football players, the NFL, there's a lot of Texas players out there and I just think it could be the fathers down here in Texas were very strict back in my day. And I mean, to the point where, I knew I'd get a leather strap across my back when I got caught doing something wrong, but that was the game. I knew not to do it, and my dad would, kick my butt when I did, and we all expected that. But when I played ball up at North Texas, there were a few of my teammates, their dads were the same way. It's like it might seem really strict and really hard today, but back then it was not so uncommon,
Sir, the question I have for you, and listen, I love the fact that people are going to be able to see this movie and that this is going to be documented, and fans of a new generation of pro wrestling are going to understand how big and how important the Von Erich family was to pro wrestling. How did you feel when you were first, approached and first heard that they were making a movie about your family? What were your thoughts and feelings?
Well, of course, I was really worried about it, because I know when you look on YouTube and see some of the things wrestlers are saying and that are just not accurate, I thought, well, where are they going to take their information from? I talked to the director, Sean Durkin, and he was, because I was worried about, I love my dad, and my brothers love my dad, too, so I was kind of worried about it. But he told me that everything the movie is going to be in the movie is either something I heard you say or read that you said. And so I thought, oh, no, I've been doing this for 30 years ago. So 39 years ago, almost. And so it could be anything. But it turned out I think it's really going to be a good thing. I'm hoping that people from this movie will take the fact that, life is hard, but we're men. We have to be hard. It kicks you right in the butt sometimes. And for me, it was like, 10 years of a death every other year. But let me tell you that life, I'm not the only one. There are a lot of people that live hard lives out here, rough lives, and I'm sure you have too. We all know, but a man has to get up. He has to get up and he has to start fighting again. And it's like life is tough, but men are tough. Make it happen. It's worth the fight. And I think the movie, because that's a good message. I hope people take that away from this.
Kevin, did your sons watch the movie? Did they enjoy it? Because I know they're in the business. I saw them a couple of months ago.
Yeah, they really did. They
nice.
Now I've got to remember, it's taken from a true story, and so it's so it's not going to be completely accurate. Like, for instance, Kristen and Jill, my two oldest children, my girls, in the movie, they're the youngest, and Ross and Marsha are the oldest. So there's some things that are, not exactly like things were, but just a movie. That's kind of how you
right.
Just think how much information they're going to try to cram into into those 2 hours. It's just too much. And so they have to change a little bit around. But I think for the most part, it's a good movie. It's really well done. And I think these guys are definitely experts, real pros.
You know, Kevin, I got so many questions. And I know time is short because you have a busy schedule today. But, like, you know, we have talked about your family and your career so many times here on this show. And like you said, it's been talked about on YouTube and dissected. So the one question I have is, and I'm wondering how it's going to be approached in the movie, was Lance Von Erich. You know, what were your thoughts at the time that Lance Von Erich was introduced? And is that talked about in the movie at all?
Let me tell you, as far as Lance is concerned with all that, I was dead set against that. And so was Kerry, you know, and it was like, but in my dad's eyes, it was, you know, we had been running three shows a day. You know, I'd be in one show, Kerry'd be in the other, and then Dave would do the other. But now with Dave going, it was, you know, either Kerry or I were having to work twice a day. And so then when Mike went, it was like, it was just so much work. I can understand my dad was trying to just keep the machine running. After all, we are a family business, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was too much. But the idea to think we could just move Lance into that spot, it was wrong. And I wish we hadn't have done it. But, you know, my dad was running the show, and so that's the way it went.
Kevin, you must be very excited. After this movie comes out, your indie booking fee is going to go through the roof.
I hope so.
I remember you were in Hawaii, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Still living in Hawaii?
Yeah, I do. We've still got the place there, but most of my children, my children, we moved to San Antonio. It's near San Antonio. You know, I'm not going to live in the city. So we found a really good out in the wild place, you know, where there's deer and turkey and all sorts of wildlife. And, but that's here in San Antonio. But, my daughter Jill still is in Kauai, and she's got my grandkids who I love so much, and I miss them so bad. But so they're still there, but we're going to keep that place. I could never sell our place out there. It's just so peaceful and so perfect for me. But, you know, we have things we have to do, you know, and so we need a place here in Texas too. So it's going to be great, but it is hard, me missing those grandkids like I do.
Last question from me, and again, thank you so much. And again, The Iron Claw premiering in Dallas tonight, and then it's going to be hitting theaters worldwide in December. How did you feel Zac Efron did playing you in the movie?
Well, no, I just met him, and he is a first-class guy. Let me tell you, I really, I'm telling you, these people are so devoted to their craft that, I mean, I was surprised how much he knew about me and how much he had studied me. And I mean, that's the way they are. I think it's going to be, I think he's the right guy to do this. I think he looks more like Kerry than he does me. And, that haircut, I had to say, man, did my hair ever really look that bad? But he said, oh, it's starting to grow. You know, the thing is, I cut my own hair. I don't go to the barber. I'm too cheap and too lazy. I just cut it myself, you know. And I mean, I grab it, and anything sticks out farther than two fingers, I cut that. And then winter, I make it a three finger for a little warmth up there. But other than that, you know, I've never really cared about looks so much. I just wanted to keep it out of my eyes, you know. And so I never did have a really good haircut, but, you know, I always cut it myself, so I'm to blame.
Well, Mr. Von Erich, thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time. Enjoy tonight, because it's your night, and this movie is going to be huge. And your story, the story of your family, I'm just so glad that it's going to be remembered, and remembered in a positive way. So, Mr. Von Erich, thank you so much for the time this morning. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure. You guys have a great day.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open Monday through Saturday at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Financial, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Swing into Seaside Golf in Ocean City, Maryland. Play like a pro at 17 championship courses designed by golf legends like Jack Nicklaus and Arthur Hills. Tee off on sweeping vistas at Eagle's Landing. Savor the coastal views of Lighthouse Sound. Or see why Ocean City Golf Club is considered one of the Mid-Atlantic's finest fairways. Whether you're sneaking in a quick round on a family vacation or going all in on a golf getaway, fun is always in play at Ocean City, Maryland. Plan your trip at OCOcean.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.